My favorite Hebrew Bible theologian, the Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, says, "We can no longer pretend that we can follow Christ without following him into the broken places of the world. We can no longer claim we follow Christ if we never leave our places of safety and never raise the ire of those who construct and benefit from the systems that impoverish and imprison."
That's the Reverend Chenda Lee, and today she brings you a challenging message of faith called Liberty and Justice for All. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Chenda Ennis Lee, who serves as Associate Pastor of Farlington United Methodist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Having been in pastoral ministry for over a decade, she has served as an Associate and Senior Pastor of churches in the Northern Virginia region of the Virginia Annual Conference. A native of Liberia, West Africa, she came to the United States when she was 16. She earned her Master of Divinity degree at Wesley Theological Seminary. Chenda, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You've been serving at Farlington United Methodist for not all that long and pretty much all of it during the pandemic. But first of all, give us a sense of the people and the mission of the church there in Alexandria.
Farlington is a very hospitable congregation. Even in the midst of this pandemic, they have just expressed the love of God and just the mercy and grace of God in very creative ways these last few months I've been with them. Farlington is also a church that is heavily involved in its community. They are engaged in many social justice missions and ministries in the Alexandria area. Farlington is also a reconciling congregation, so that means we are a community that welcomes and affirms our LGBTQ plus siblings. So it is a gift and a blessing to be serving among them as one of their pastors.
So how would you describe your ministry role there now in the pandemic, but otherwise as well?
Well, because I am new to that community and because I started during the pandemic, a lot of what I have been doing has just been focused around how we can help our community partners and our vulnerable populations get through what they need in order to survive the pandemic that we find ourselves in. So we are very active with a ministry called Alive. We're helping with rent security deposits so that people do not lose their places of residence. So that just being in contact with our community partners and trying to make sure that our most vulnerable people do not lose their homes has been a lot of my work these past few months. And also just getting to know the people has been very different. Most of my time with them has been spent in Zoom meetings or trying to have some different creative outdoor activities these last few months. So, yeah, we are trying to make it work as best as we can. And as pastors, a lot of our work is really with presence and be engaged in acts of compassion and mercy with our people. And not being able to do that has been very challenging.
Of course, you all are right in the midst of the national government. Does that impact your ministry or life in any way?
I believe it does. We have many people who work in government agencies and whatnot. So we have to, I wouldn't say necessarily be mindful, but we have to be in tune with what is unfolding nationally, especially being adjacent to the nation's capital. And we have to speak to the needs of the people in light of decisions and policies that are made, but do that in a theological context and framework so that the people then are empowered to live out their faith in a way that reflects their faith in Christ and what Christ has done in their lives for the sake of the world.
Chenda, you came to America from Liberia at the age of 16 in the midst of very difficult times there, civil war. How has that experience formed your own ministry today?
Well, I think that experience is what led me into pastoral ministry in a lot of ways. When I was back home and we were going through that time, I always felt a sense of I needed to be a part of making sure that people knew that they were loved and that God cared about what was happening to us in that country. And as a young woman, young girl at the time, I thought that it was going to be in other secular work. But yet God's Spirit led me to pastoral ministry. And it was funny because I thought I did not want to follow my father's footsteps because my dad is also a Methodist minister and I wanted to not have anything to do with ministry. So, but God does have a sense of humor, I would say, and led me into pastoral ministry. And the lens through which I come to understanding the scripture is very influenced by my Civil War experience and how I relate to and preach from the lens of people who have been oppressed that informs my theological grounding and how I engage in my pastoral ministry.
Well, this Sunday is the fourth after the Epiphany, and your sermon draws from the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 1. Would you read it for us?
Sure. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee.
Well, Chenda, we look forward to learning more about all this in your sermon, Liberty and Justice for All. Thank you for sharing it with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program with Chenda Lee with an extended interview, you can subscribe to Day One Weekly Program on your favorite podcast app or listen on our website at dayone.org. We can also read the sermon transcript. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
Like most families with children, at the onset of the pandemic last year, my husband and I were plunged into pandemic schooling our daughters. Over the summer, confident pandemic schooling was behind us, we had family t-shirts made to commemorate our experience. Our girls' shirts read, We Survived Pandemic Teachers 2020. And our shirts read, We Survived Pandemic Schooling 2020. Little did we know, our pandemic teacher credentials would be renewed for the 2020-2021 academic year. Determined to be better teachers, we transformed our basement into a classroom space for our three school-age daughters. During the first few days of the new academic year, I would come downstairs every morning to make sure they were settled. One morning, as I came down to check on them, I heard them reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, which I later discovered was part of their virtual class morning routine. Until the pandemic, I have not given recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance much thought because it was out of sight, out of mind. It was something done at school. You know, that place our children used to go for 7 hours out of the day, and we could actually be productive and maybe even do non-children-related activities. School. But now school was in our home, and hearing the Pledge of Allegiance uttered in our home, a place of safety, security, and refuge, in a country where liberty and justice for all does not ring true for melanated bodies like ours, was disorienting and a violation of our sacred space. Thoughts of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Elijah McClain, every Black or brown person prior to them, every Black and brown person whose story do not make national news, and the stories of my enslaved ancestors who fought for their human dignity, floated through my head as I heard the words liberty and justice for all being uttered from the lips of our daughters. And I had to make it stop. I could no longer allow our daughters to recite words, at least not in our home, that are antithetical to the liberty and justice God desires for all. In today's gospel lection, Jesus encounters a man who needs Jesus to make it stop, because his body, his sacred space, has been violated by an unclean spirit. Jesus, Mark tells us, is in Capernaum with Simon, Andrew, James, and John, who he drafted in the preceding verses to join him on an adventure of fishing for people. On the Sabbath, they go to the synagogue for worship, and Jesus astounds the people with his teaching. Whatever he said, perhaps it was that Isaiah passage we hear him reading in Luke's gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because she has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. She has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These words, Spirit of the Lord, anoints me, brings good news to the poor, releases captives, recovers sight, sets oppressed free. These words, I imagine, cause a disturbance in the soul of the man, forcing him to cry out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Hearing the man's plea for help, Jesus rebukes, silences, and orders the unclean spirit to come out of the man. After convulsing the man's body, the spirit comes out and the people are astonished by Jesus' action and his teaching. The scene in the synagogue ends immediately in true Markan fashion, but its impact is felt throughout the Galilean region, Mark attests. Our 21st century ears are uncomfortable hearing these stories because exorcisms are reserved for our cinematic entertainment, not our theological praxis. We know what to make of Jesus the teacher, the healer, the shepherd, the justice warrior, the friend of sinners. But Jesus the exorcist? He spews of evangelical conservatism, so we try to avoid him as much as possible. Yet, there is no avoiding him because this description of Jesus given to us by Mark and by extension the other gospel writers shows us the breadth and depth of God's love for us and the boundaries God is willing to break, God has broken, to deliver us from the forces of evil who hold us in captivity. The drama that unfolds in this exorcist narrative reveals that when the Son of Woman was born into this human sphere, he did not arrive unchallenged. The territory was already occupied by opposing supremacies, known by many names: the devil, principalities, ruler of darkness, unclean spirits, demon, Satan, that hath ensnarled, entangled, and violated the sacred spaces of God's good creation. The Apostle Paul, in his writing, personifies them as sin and death, enemies of God who have gained dominion everywhere in every human heart, robbing people of the joy and community and purpose for which they were created, which is to live fully in the abundance of God's unmerited grace. So what does God do? God condescends to us in the person of Jesus Christ to make it stop. Mark's exorcism narrative signals that Jesus has come to oppose all the forces that keep the children of God from the abundant life God desires for all of us. Besides being a story that points to the liberating work of God, this story highlights the fundamental witness and confession of the early church, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In telling this story and others like it found throughout the Gospels, Jesus' disciples were making the subversive proclamation that their allegiance was to one whose authority and power exceeded that of the highest Roman authority, Caesar. By placing this exorcism story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Mark makes the creedal confession that Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not. Jesus is Lord is the witness of the church, and perhaps why Mark posits this story in the context of a worship experience, reminding not only his first century readers, but also his 21st century readers, that's you and I, of our primary mission as the body of Christ in the world: to make visible the power of the gospel by living faithfully under the lordship of Jesus. So what does this faithful living look like for us? Well, it is the same as it was for our faith ancestors, with contextual differences. What this faithful living looks like is engaging with the poor, the hungry, the downtrodden. What this faithful living looks like is resisting injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. What it looks like is publicly speaking against systems that keep some people poor and other people rich. What it looks like is using our privilege to eliminate racist and discriminatory laws that target marginalized communities in all facets of our society: healthcare, education, policing, economics, housing, and employment. What it looks like is accepting our neighbors as God's beloved, regardless of their race, gender, or sexual orientation. What it looks like is loving our neighbors with compassion, empathy, and grace. As my favorite Hebrew Bible theologian, the Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, says, we can no longer pretend that we can follow Christ without following him into the broken places of the world. We can no longer pretend that we can follow Christ without paying an exorbitant price at some point. We can no longer claim we follow Christ if we never leave our places of safety and never raise the ire of those who construct and benefit from the systems that impoverish and imprison. By now, I know you're wondering how I handle the situation with my daughters. Well, after school that day, I sat with them and shared how hearing them recite the Pledge of Allegiance was disorienting for me. I gave them a history lesson in why the Pledge of Allegiance was created and how its words are discriminatory against people of color and immigrants. Then I told them another story. The story of our Christian identity in Christ and how our allegiance is to Him. I told them about their baptism and how no matter what they do or don't do, nothing can separate them from God's love that is in Christ Jesus. When they were done bombarding me with questions, we brainstormed together ways they could still show respect for their country and refrain from participating in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Jesus is Lord is our witness as disciples of Jesus Christ. Mark's story of confrontation and liberation comes to us because it's at the heart of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel story we are invited to live into and live through. Jesus is Lord, and in His life, death, and resurrection, God sets us free from the grips of sin and death, plunges us in the waters of baptism, raises us up to new life, and invites us to feast at God's table where the gifts of bread and wine are made available to all and for all, freely, at no cost to any of us. Liberty and justice for all, and all means all. Offered to you in the name of God, who is majesty, mystery, and mercy. Amen. Please pray with me. God of loving kindness and tender mercies, I thank you for the gift of your word that has been proclaimed. May those who hear it commit to leading a life of blessing so that their witness will bear fruits of justice and mercy for their neighbor. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Chenda Ennis Lee, Associate Pastor of Fairlington United Methodist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. For a free transcript of her sermon, Liberty and Justice for All, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Don't forget to listen again to today's program, read the sermon transcript, and much more. You can visit us online at dayone.org. And please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. Send your donation to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. And thank you. This is Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Ginger Gaines Sorelli, Senior Pastor of Founder United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. Her message is titled, Everyone is Searching. I hope you'll be listening. That's next time on Day One. Now, Chenda Lee shares some final reflections on her sermon today, Liberty and Justice for All. Chenda, you said our 21st century ears are uncomfortable hearing these exorcism stories as in Mark chapter 1. We know what to make of Jesus, the teacher, the healer, the shepherd, the justice warrior, the friend of sinners, but Jesus the exorcist, we try to avoid him as much as possible. But you said these stories actually reveal to us the breadth and depth of God's love for us and the boundaries God is willing to break and has broken to deliver us from the forces of evil. Could you say more about these forces of evil today and how we are held captive by them?
Yeah, I think for me, when I think about forces of evil, which I address some in my sermon, is out of really the context of a Black woman living in America. And we see how the system of white supremacy has been built into the fabric of this nation and hinders the well-being and the full humanity of people of color in this country. Mm. So that is one force of evil that I would speak to and that oppresses people. And then you also think about just in this pandemic and the healthcare disparities that we are seeing, again, for marginalized communities, how the wealthy continue to benefit more. You think about those who have died from the virus are mostly people within marginalized communities, people of color, Native Americans, African American peoples, whereas other racial identities, especially those who identify as white, have not felt the impact as much. So again, forces of evil as far as healthcare is concerned that continue to oppress people. And then you think about addictions of other forms that hinder people as well. So those are some of the things that come to mind when I think about the forces of evil that keep God's people in oppression or possessed in different ways.
That's powerful. This story not only points to the liberating work of God, you said, it also highlights the fundamental witness and confession of the early church, the lordship of Jesus Christ. This was and still is subversive truth. And you gave us a lot of great examples of what faithful living under the lordship of Jesus looks like, engaging with the poor, the hungry, the downtrodden, resisting injustice and oppression and so on, worthy efforts. So if we truly believe Jesus is Lord, how do we get started living a life that reflects that reality?
First, I think we have to really accept that there is nothing that we can do that will make God love us any less than God already does. Sometimes I think we get caught up in the idea that we need to do and do and do and do in order to maybe gain favor with God. But the gospel promise is that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So I think for us, we really have to come to that place of accepting that God's grace is truly free, that God's grace is available to us no matter what we do or don't do. In my church, whenever I preach, and I got this from another one of my pastors who influenced me, was a mentor to me. Every Sunday when I preach and I lead worship, I start with these words, that no matter where you have been or where you have failed to be, no matter what you have done or what you have failed to do, no matter whom you have loved or whom you have failed to love, receive and hear this truth, that God loves us in spite of ourselves. So the good news is Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not. And God's grace has been extended to all of us. And what we do in response to that is not necessarily to gain favor with God, but to show compassion and grace to our neighbors because they are the visible presence of God in the world.
Chenda Lee, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.